Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, again, we're so excited that you're here with us today. And today we're launching a brand new three-week series. It's going to take us all the way to the end of November, and it's called Exponential. And I've got a lot of faith for all the messages because I know that I'm not just coming up here on my own behalf, but God has a word for each of us today. But today there's just something extra special. To be honest with you, the message is not really complicated or anything like that. I don't have something necessarily new to bring to you. But as we look to God's word and specifically a story in God's word, I think God is going to do a great work inside each of us. And really, I believe he's going to touch some people's hearts in a very, very powerful way. And honestly, this series, but particular this message, it's dedicated to some people today. Honestly, it goes out to those of us, and I know I've been here many different times, that you maybe feel like you're settling in life. In a specific area, a relationship, your family, your career, your schooling, maybe even something way beyond that, but you feel like maybe you're settling. Like maybe at one point, like you believed God in big ways in your life. Like maybe at one point you had this audacious faith that you really believed that God not only could do a miracle in the Bible or in your friend's life, but like in your life. Believing that God could set you free, believing that God could do the seemingly impossible. You're once holding out for hope. Again, this message is dedicated to you. But sadly, unfortunately, life hits you, and how many of y'all know life, when it hits hard. And because of the situations that you're in, because of the circumstance that you're currently facing, your faith has begun to weaken. And even though you once had high hopes, you have begun to settle. And if that's you, God has a word for your life today. And I was thinking about this because not only do we have the many people represented in this room, but I thank God for Church Online, one of our new ministries. Many of you, you can clap if you want to. It's okay. Like, not going to be mad at you if you clap in church and get excited about what God's doing. But we also got the podcast and people listening to the messages on their way to work at the gym. I've heard that sometimes you can run a little bit faster when somebody's yelling at you during the message. And so if you're running, come on, do another mile. You got this. But I was thinking about this, and like maybe there's somebody watching or listening online. Like maybe there's a young lady that, like, when you were first saved, you just thought, like, man, I really got a big plan for my life, and I'm just believing God for a godly man. Like, I don't know, I was just thinking about that this week. Maybe there's somebody watching, listening, thinking that. Like, I just believe God is going to bring me a passionate man of God, and he's going to have a six-pack, and he's going to be full of faith, and even better than that, he's going to have a full bank account. Like, maybe somebody was thinking that. Like, God, just bring him to me, and I'm just excited about it. He's going to be a good father one day. He's going to be an awesome provider. He's going to love long walks on the beach and holding hands, and he'll be a great kisser to the glory of God. Like, maybe you pray that. I don't know. Like, I just want that man. You had faith for it at the beginning, but as time has gone by, again, I don't know. I'm just thinking this week. As time has gone by, maybe you've started just to convince yourself and to think to yourself that maybe that's not very realistic. Like, maybe that's a little bit of a fairy tale. And eventually you're like, God, just bring me a man. Like, any man. Breathing, check. Hopefully has a job. That would be a great thing as well. Not living in his parents' spare bedroom. Like just any man, God. I'm not picky. Like, maybe somebody is thinking that. I don't know. I thought about maybe somebody in this room, like years ago, you had a dream to start your own business. Maybe you're just starting off in college, didn't really know what you were going to do, but you had this dream on the inside of you. Like, I love to not be underneath another boss. I love to be my own boss. And I love to not just make money or help people, like, in the physical. Like, I love to make a difference in my city and in my family. It's going to be amazing, God. Maybe somebody's been dreaming that before. I'm going to be generous. But then one day, life hits you and you're like, I just need to pay my bills. Like, I just want a job with a few benefits. Like, I just need something, and maybe you've settled. I know we do this in parenting, y'all. And here's the interesting about parenting. Got a couple of kids of our own, and I shared last week, if you're here, that we got another one on the way, and so excited about that. And but here's what I've learned about parenting, and the parents in the room, you understand, like before you have kids, like you judge all the parents out there. Like, y'all remember this? Like, you'll be on a plane, and they got the family with like the crying baby, and you are so disgusted. Like, I cannot believe they're not getting this kid under control. You got the kid screaming down the aisle, and you're playing with the seatbelt sign still on. You're like, what is going on? You're at the restaurant and trying to have a nice meal, and you got that screaming kid right beside you, and you're like, man, what is going on? But then you have kids, and whenever that happens next, you don't feel bad for yourself. You feel bad for those parents. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Because you're like, man, I can relate. And so if you ever got like struggling like with your parenting, like I can relate with you. I'm not mad at you. Like, I get what's going on. But going into parenting, we've got these big expectations, these lofty ideas. Like, maybe you thought to yourself, I am going to be the best parent on the planet. Like, I had okay parents, but I'm going to put them to shame. Like, I am going to finally do it right. Maybe you thought to yourself, I'm going to read books to my kids every single night. I'm going to pray with my kids every single night. I will constantly show love and affection to my children. Maybe you thought to yourself, I will never raise my voice at my kids. Like, I'm going to tell them stories, and these stories aren't going to be stolen from somebody else. They are going to be original, and one day they will put them in my memoir, okay? Like, this is going to be my parenting. Going to be amazing. We're going to bond. I'm going to be their best friend, and then one day your prayer changes, and you're like, God, I just pray they don't end up in prison. God, I just pray they don't end up like me. That's what we really end up praying. So we have these big ideas, these big expectations, but far too often we settle, especially when we come just brand new to our faith. Some of you are brand new, and some of you it was years ago, but if you can remember back to then, and you have these big ideas, man, I'm going to change the world for Jesus Christ, and then you get those bills that come in, then your debt begins to snowball out of control. And what once were big ideas and big expectations, God, you can do the impossible, it's been squelched by the reality of your life. And I know far too many Christians that have settled, that are just getting by. And again, this message is dedicated to all those like myself, that at one point in your life, maybe even now, you have begun to settle for less than the promise God has given you. In fact, the moment that I say that sentence, the Holy Spirit just spoke to your heart, like this is for you. And so if you have a Bible with you, the beginning of this series called Exponential, I want you to turn to the book of beginnings, also known as Genesis, the first book in the Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, it'll be on the screen if you're here in the room. But Genesis chapter 15 is where we're going to be. And we're going to read 6 verses together. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. So it'll be a little bit different maybe than what you have, but you should be able to follow along. Genesis chapter 15, and starting in verse 1, it says this. Sometime later, that's important. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you. And your reward will be great." Verse 2 shows Abram's response back to God. But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own." He's complaining to God, if you haven't caught on. "So one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Verse 5, "Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram, if I can in my Bible, I'm highlighting, I'm bolding, I'm underlining this verse. And Abram believed the Lord. And the Lord counted him as righteous. Why? Because of his faith, seeing what he could not see in the natural. If you're taking notes, I'm calling this message lowered expectations. Lowered expectations. Would you bow your heads with me and pray? Lord, we love you so much. And I just pray for my friends, my family today. I pray, God, for anybody, and I believe there's several, but anybody underneath the sound of my voice, that they have begun to lower their expectations when it comes to their faith and their belief in what you can do, not for someone else, but for us. I pray, God, for those that have been on the faith journey for a little while, and at the beginning of that journey, they were on fire for you. Everything changed. Everything was different. They believed that they could pray for somebody who needed a miracle, and you would show up, and you would act out and display your glory. But time has gone by. The pain of the past has been brought front and center. And God, now, they would maybe never say it out loud, but they don't step out in faith much any longer because they're not so sure if you'll come through. I pray for those of us that, God, we are in the middle of a very disappointing season, that we thought things would look different. We thought, God, that our life, our family, our relationships, our bank account, we thought things would look different. And so we're filled with regret. We're filled with discouragement. And God, we have lowered our expectations of what you can do. I pray for those of us in that place, in that season. I pray, God, that this would be a word not just preached, but a word received. I've preached actually before here from this platform that it's 50-50. Anytime we come to church, it's 50% on me, the preacher, and it's also 50% on them receiving the preaching. So may we be open to what you have to say. May the soil in our heart be good soil. Have your way and bring encouragement when we maybe were discouraged before. We love you and we trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 The story we just read, it obviously involves Abram. And if you're brand new to this, let you know that Abram actually turns into Abraham, and that may be a more familiar name for you. And so the story involves Abram, who would become Abraham, and also his wife, Sarah. She doesn't make an appearance here in these six verses, but she is definitely a huge part of this story. And many of you know parts of their story, but here's what you need to know for today's purposes. They had a dream to start a family, and that dream has not yet come true. It was a dream in their heart to raise up their own children, but it has not yet come through. And you know, as a pastor who's been doing this for a little over a decade, we know many couples, and we've helped many couples throughout the years navigate this hard road. And it is a hard road, waiting for the promise of God, waiting for that miracle baby, waiting for the adoption to go through. We have walked that hard road with others. And those of you that know our story, we have walked that road ourselves personally, my wife and I. And so Abram and Sarah, they are literally waiting on their miracle. But in the middle of the waiting, God makes them a promise. And if you want to do further study this week, I'd encourage you to read Genesis chapter 12. Because in Genesis chapter 12, he makes them this promise. And if you're brand new to this thing, let me give you the Cliff Notes version. God makes Abram a specific promise in Genesis chapter 12. He tells him that he would be blessed, that he'd be blessed with a great name, a great land, a great family, not to mention the greatest kids' church song of all time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Father Abraham had many sons and many sons. Me all marched while you sang it. Had Father Abraham and I am one of them, and so are you. And so let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot, chin up. You know what I'm talking about, okay? Some of y'all didn't know you're going to have a sing-along in the middle of the message today. It's going to be your favorite part of the service. Like we had some good songs back in kids' church in the day. I'm telling you that is tops on my list. Like, you got I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N, and you can go on and on. But that one's tops. And so Abram and Sarah, they've been given this incredible promise. And you can imagine that when God shares something like this with you, you get excited. And I can only imagine that God makes his promises in Genesis 12. And I can only imagine them like starting to pick out baby names. And hey, how are we going to decorate the nursery? And I'm sure Abram is like, we're going to go Star Wars theme. And Sarah's like, no, we want color and ribbons and glitter, you know. And you know who won that argument? Sarah. You know, I can just imagine, like, Sarah reading, like, what to expect when you're expecting. And they're planning out this elaborate Instagram gender reveal. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like some of these guys, they have production budgets. Like, it's a big deal. There's also fails out there. If you want to see some funny things of how they tried to do something and it didn't work out. In fact, I heard, and this is really sad, but I heard this in the green room before as we're getting ready to pray for the service. Some of the band members told me that, like, they actually even heard recently that there were some fatalities that happened. There was a couple that accidentally built a pipe bomb and somebody in their family got shrapnel. Like, can you imagine? Like, this is messed up, guys. And so I can just only imagine, like, what's going on in their heart. There is so much preparation. God spoke. God gave a promise. God said it would happen, but then nothing. And this goes way beyond having children, because a lot of us have been there. We had this promise, this expectation, but then nothing. I want y'all to know, if you don't know the story, months go by. Nothing. Years go by and nothing. And then you get to Genesis 15:1, what we just read earlier, and the Bible says sometime later in the New Living Translation. Now, maybe you're wondering, like, how much time has gone by? And honestly, we don't know exactly sure at this point. I've heard some say 10 years has gone by. Some say that it's even longer than that. But here's what we do know, and I've shared this before in another message, in total, when you go from the original promise to when they eventually had their first son, Isaac, spoiler alert, in total, it was about 25 years in between. And I preached before, because the Bible says it this way, that their bodies were as good as dead at that point, Abraham and Sarah, and God did a miracle. Now, some of us, we've been waiting 2 weeks on our promise, and we are fed up with God. And they waited at least 25 years in total. And again, if you want to read the story, more of it, read Genesis 12. But you also have to fast forward to Genesis 21 to finally see Isaac show up on the scene. 25 years of waiting. And this leads us to our first point. I've only got a couple of them today. And this applies to every promise that God has given us. Number one, I hope you'll write this down. Never measure God's unlimited power by our lowered expectations. Never measure God's unlimited power by our lowered expectations. This is the beginning of verse 2. But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? I wonder if you noticed it at first reading, but it seems to me that Abram has lowered his expectations as time has gone by. Remember, God gave Abram a promise. He promised him a nation, but Abram is just hoping for a son at this point. God promised him a nation, and Abram has lowered his expectations just to one son, one heir. He's kind of like this, where are you, God? Like, that promise was great, and we got excited. But that's been about 10 years ago or so at this point. Like, God, did you forget about me? Have you ever wondered that to God? Maybe you were scared to say it out loud, but by the way, God can read your thoughts. And so if you were thinking it, he heard it. Like, God, where are you? Did you forget about me? Or maybe this one, I've thought this one many different times in my life. Did I not hear you right? Like, was that the bad pizza the night before? Did I hear a message and get way too excited? And so I thought something that really you weren't speaking. Like, God, where are you in this moment? From Abram's view, nothing has happened. Nothing. It seems like God is slow, and so he will just settle. In fact, can I tell you something you already know? I've talked to a lot of Christians in my lifetime. I have never met a Christian who told me God is too fast. Like, never. Never. Never met somebody that said, you know what, Pastor, I was praying for an increase at my job. I was praying for a promotion. I was praying for more money. And before I could even end that prayer, God moved so fast and I got that raise. Never heard it before. Like, God, like I was just praying, just God, like just do this miracle in this relationship. And I just felt like it was going to take months or even years to bring restoration, but it happened the next day. Did you know God is fast? I have never heard that before. Why? Because from our viewpoint, God is slow. Now, he's not slow. We shared last week, if you were here, that he operates on a different timetable and calendar than us. He's in Kairos time, not Chronos time. If you're brand new, I encourage you to check the message out from last week. And so in our limited view, God is slow. And again, this isn't just Abram and Sarah's story. This is our story too. Like, maybe you had this goal. Like, God, I want to, with your help, pay off all of my credit cards, but I'm going to start with one. Like, maybe you had that goal. And it would be a great goal. It would be a God-honoring goal. You're like, God, I don't want to just be borrowing. I want to be the lender, as your word talks about. And maybe you set that goal at the beginning of 2019. I'm going to choose one credit card, and I'm going to pay it off. But now as we're getting close to 2020, y'all know it's coming close, right? You look at that credit card statement, and you actually owe more on that card than you did when you first started. Why? Because you had this bill and this unforeseen thing and your car broke down and you just had to go on that 2-week vacation, you know, all that kind of stuff that comes at us. And we're like, man, like, what happened to that original idea? Where are you, God? Or maybe you have this mission, and this would be another great mission, that you're praying for your dad. You're praying for your mom to give their life to Jesus. You're like, I'm just praying for their salvation. I'm praying that they would surrender their life to God. But a year's gone by now, maybe for you, since that original prayer, and you're like, they're meaner than they were before I started praying. I'm like, they seem farther away from God. They shut down every conversation before I even get started. That's how they start our meeting, us hanging out together. Don't tell me about Jesus right now, okay? We're just hanging out. And you're like, man, like, where are you? God, did you forget about me? God, are you even there? Abram was focused on a son. If I could just have a son, God, he's kind of like this. And we just read it like, if I can't get it the regular way, if I can't make it happen that way, then I'll just find somebody on my staff and they'll be my son. Like, he's getting creative, giving props for that, but he's going outside of God's design. And if you read their whole story, it gets even worse than that. Getting in front of the promise of God. Man, if I could just turn one of my servants, one of my staff members into my son, then I would make sure that this promise could come true. I wrote it down this way. Maybe you'll write this down in your notes. Abram loves the promise, but he's trying to bypass the process. And that's for somebody today. He loves the promise. I mean, who doesn't want to have a great family? Who doesn't want to have land? Who doesn't want to have a good name, a great reputation? He loves the promise, but he wants to bypass the process. And man, that's not just Abraham, y'all. That is us. God's like, you're not ready for me to give you that promise. You're not ready for that blessing. You're not ready for this. It will actually kill you or destroy you, but we don't care because we fall in love with the promise and not with our God who brings the promise. I'm telling you today, friend, if you're frustrated with God's slow-moving speed according to our view, maybe it's just maybe because God's not done doing something in you before he can give something to you. In fact, I figured I'd get a couple more amens during this part, but maybe it's just because the Holy Spirit is speaking to some people. I don't know. But God wants to take you through the process before you get the promise. Think about it this way. Abram is focused on addition, but God's all about multiplication, y'all. Like Abram's like, what can I do in my own strength? And God's like, I don't need your help with this, son. I can do this all on my own. God math works differently than ours. So what's the point? We must stop lowering our expectations. As time goes by and we're in the middle of the process, we must remember that we serve a limitless God. That even though you are limited and I am limited, God is not limited. God wants to do more. I have a word for you today. Stop settling. Stop settling for so much less than God has for you. In fact, I love what Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 20, says. This is the end of the Apostle Paul's prayer for the church. Here's what he prays. Now to him who is able, somebody say able. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Maybe you memorized this verse as a child, but let it sink into your soul today. Like you can come up with whatever you can come up with. You can ask whatever you want to ask. You can dream up the craziest, loftiest blessing, whatever you want to, and it is still limited to the more that God can do for you and your family. Not according to our power, according to his power. That is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He is able to do more. Stop lowering your expectations. Here's the second point. Number two, never measure God's unlimited power by our limited perspective. We're limited, friend. This is verse 5. I love this. Picture this as best you can. Then the Lord took Abram outside. He took him outside and he said to him, get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes up to me. Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. Friend, you and myself, like we have such a limited perspective. We see the present dimly. We see the past dimly because we forget stuff. Y'all know, like we sleep in between and we forget the day before. And we definitely cannot see the future at all, at all. But God sees it all at one time. He operates outside of space and time. Friend, let me encourage you today. There is so much more that goes on that you cannot see. There is an unseen world. You can't see someone working, or God working on someone's heart, but he's doing it. We can't see the blessing on the other side of this valley, but it's there. We must live by faith and not by sight. God takes Abram outside of the tent, outside of his normal surroundings, his limited view, his limited perspective. Why? So he could see a bigger picture of his life. So God could get his eyes off of himself and what he wanted to do, Abram, and to see what God could do, to get just a glimpse of what God saw in his life. Abram had your problem and my problem. He had a limited perspective, focused on what he could see. Just think about this, friend. Don't miss the simplicity of this moment. Abram is in a tent complaining to God about what he can see. It's ironic. He's there in a tent complaining. Well, God, yeah, you're going to protect me and yeah, you're going to bless me, but do you remember this whole son thing and nation thing? He is complaining to God. And I just felt like I had to come here to let somebody know that's what you've been doing too. In your prayer closet, in your prayer time, and all you're doing is complaining to God based on what you can see. And can you take a step back for a moment and see how foolish that actually is? You're judging God's work based on what you can see as a mere human. The person who created you, you're not trusting him, you're trusting what you can see yourself. Can we just get real honest? Like, I've prayed this many different times. Like God, yeah, I believe this, but like, could you do it this way? Like, it makes the most sense. Almost like I'm helping out God as I pray. Like, it makes the most sense, you know? Like, why not bless me with more money? I'm going to be generous, God. Like, come on, you know? Like, let's figure this out together. That's what Abram's doing. He's complaining. Well, God, I guess it's just going to be one of my servants. God, I just guess this is how it's going to go. We're not getting any younger. This is what it is. But I came here to tell you today that just because you can't see it doesn't mean God's not working. He's working in the background. He's working behind the scenes. He's working in a space in a way that you can't see it, but you've got to trust it. He's working in the waiting. Well, God, I'm alone. I don't have anybody. God, I'm buried in debt. There's no way out of this. God, the report came back and it's not good. Do you see this, God? Do you see it? Are you paying attention? I don't see you working. I don't see you moving. Let me get real honest with you today, friend, and I hope this will expand your faith. If God actually met all of your expectations, he'd never have a chance to exceed them. If he always worked in the way that you figured out for him to work, he would never exceed your expectations. It would not take faith. But instead, God chooses to do even more than you ask, even more than you imagine. He just says, you know what? I love him so much. I'm going to pour out more blessing and more love and more care. I got to change your perspective. I got to change my perspective. And so I just want to get very practical today. Very, very practical. Some of you, you need a change in scenery too. And I'm not talking about a new job. I'm definitely not talking about a new marriage, okay? So you're like, I just need different kids. You can, these and we'll switch. No. I'm not talking about a new church. What I'm saying is this, that some of you need to get away from people in your life that are limiting your perspective too. Some of you need to disconnect. In fact, I would say all of you that are caught up in these kind of relationships, you need to disconnect from the gossipers, the naysayers, the negative people in your life. If you want distance between me and you, friend, you just become a negative person and I will put distance between us. Why? Because it's not easy living for God. It's not easy leading the church. I'm not trying to say it just is what it is. And so I need positive people around me. Anybody can spot the negative. Our world is fallen. Our world is not easy. Life is challenging. I could name you 85 million negative things right now, back to back to back, but I choose to focus on the positive. And we must do the same. So seriously, I believe this is a practical step for some of you. You need to distance yourself, not because you're better, but they've been pulling you away. They've actually been helping and shrinking your faith and not increasing your faith. What do you call these people? These are toxic people. They do not spur you on towards Christ. You got to get away from it. You got to get around people who will push you towards God. Here's another practical step for somebody today. Just real simple, nothing profound. I told you that at the top. Some of you need to spend some more time with the Lord. That's what you need. You don't need another podcast. You don't need another message from a pastor. All that stuff is great and it helps. But really what you need is Jesus. You need Jesus to change your perspective. You need Jesus to deposit faith in your life. Sunday mornings is not enough. God wants a relationship with you, a relationship with you. You need to begin to ask the Lord to enlarge your perspective. I wrote this down, maybe it'll help somebody, but some of us have got to stop putting God in a box. What I understand and how I think God would react, God is so much greater than anything that we can think or we can imagine. I'm about to pray. But here's what I hope to do for you as your pastor. One of my big jobs, how I see it, is to help enlarge your perspective when it comes to God. Like, honestly, to take you outside. Well, Pastor, Mama, this is not going good, and this is not, I see all of that. It is what it is. But God, Pastor, if you just knew what's happening in my finances, I just lost my job, and this thing's messing up, and this thing, it is what it is. I can pretend it's not there. But God, if God can raise somebody from the dead, He can resurrect your finances. He can resurrect the dead relationships in your life. He can free you from that secret addiction. He is greater. He is more powerful. He can do immeasurably more than anything we can ask, anything we can imagine. God brought Abram outside. God helped Abram get a bigger perspective. And how did Abram respond? The exact same way we should respond. He believed God. So as God's reminding you of some things today, as God is reawakening some promises that you've let lie dormant because you've been settling for less, as God does that in your life, you have an opportunity to respond to Him. Will you believe or not believe? Will you have faith in what you cannot yet see? Or will you trust yourself? The decision, the choice is yours. Now, if you keep reading the story, and I encourage you to do that, it's going to be real with you. Like it wasn't smooth sailing after that. Abram and Sarah had some mountaintop moments and some valley moments. In fact, like there's some messed up stuff that took place in their story. But through it all, in the end, God's promise came true. This is the last word I've got for somebody before we pray. I really feel like it's a prophetic word for somebody. God's promise will come true for you. God's promises are yes and amen. I don't shout that point because it's not an emotional thing. God's promises are yes and amen. Let that wash over your spirit. I just feel the presence of the Lord right now. I come not on my authority, on the authority of the Lord. God's promises are yes and amen. We must believe the Lord that even if He's slow in our limited perspective, we're going to trust and we're going to have faith that God will do what He said He will do. God will restore what God said He would restore. Amen? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I feel Your presence here right now. We know You're everywhere all at once. You're omnipresent. But there's moments where You choose to make Your presence known. And there's a reason for that right now. I really believe with all my heart it's because You needed to encourage some people that have been settling for so much less than You have for them. God, life has gotten in the way and it's caused their faith to shrink. And I just pray right now that new faith, fresh faith would rise up from the inside out in Your people to believe again that You are who You say You are, to believe again that You'll do what You said You will do, that when You make a promise, You always keep Your promises. They are yes and amen. Maybe they walked in discouraged today, focused on what they can see, but God, may You give them a fresh vision of what You want to do. Put a picture in their heart right now of that relationship restored, of their family expanding, of them paying off their debt and sending in the last payment and celebrating. Give them a vision, holding out for Your promise. We hope it doesn't take 25 years, but if it does, we will wait. Because anytime we get in front of You, bad things happen. Anytime we rush through the process, we miss out on the journey that You have. And so often it's more about the journey than the destination. because you're molding us and you're shaping us and you're doing a great work in us. God, I pray right now that you would unlock dreams and unlock visions, that you'd unlock those promises that we put underneath the mat in our soul, that you'd bring them back to the surface, God, that we would dream again and believe again and have faith in miracles again. God, you do the impossible. It's impossible with man, but it's possible with you. May you breathe your Holy Spirit upon us. Fresh wind in our sails to believe again in our exponential God. So much more, so much greater. Keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed for just a moment. The way we want to end this service today is by giving anyone underneath the sound of my voice, anybody in this room, please no one stirring, anybody in this room, anybody watching, listening online, we want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. Like maybe you're listening today and you're looking at your life and you're just like, man, I'm far from God. Like I know it. Like it even feels this way. There's a disconnect. And the reason why is because of your sin. You see, our sin separates us from God. Maybe you've come in today. Maybe you've logged on today. And you've been trying to do good things. And you've been trying to be a good person. And well, that's why I'm here today. Or that's why I'm watching. Like I just want to feel better about my life. And you've tried these things to knock down that wall between you and God. You're trying in these things to get to God. But can I tell you today, friend, the only way you get to God is by allowing him to come to you, by surrendering your life to him. Even in your greatest strength, you are not powerful enough to knock down that wall that separates you from God. It's only because of Jesus. It's only because of what Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me. It's only because of his great sacrifice that wall can be destroyed. I want you to picture it this way, as Jesus, a little over 2,000 years ago, stretched out his hands on that cross. As he did that, he was literally bridging the gap between us and God. Because friend, Jesus is the way. He's the truth, he's the life. Yeah, you should be a good person, and yeah, you should do good things, but none of it is good enough. It's only because of Jesus that anybody, including the guy speaking, that anybody can come to the Lord. It's only because of Jesus. So today, the opportunity is here for you. Not to sign up for church membership. Again, that's works, what you can do. The opportunity is here for you today to surrender to Jesus, to put your trust and your faith in him, and he is the one that is strong enough to take away your sin. He's the one that can bridge the gap. I'll just be real with you. It won't make everything perfect in your life. Life is tough. But it gets a little bit easier knowing that God is with you and in you, that at any moment you can turn to him and he's there to help. So eyes closed all across the house. If you're watching online and you're able to, close your eyes too. But if you're here today and you're far from God and you want to surrender, not work your way to him, surrender your life to him. I'm not going to embarrass you, not going to make you stand up, but right where you're seated, would you lift up a hand so I can pray for you? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep it up for a moment. Hands all over. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep it up for a moment. God, you're so good. God sees you. No one's looking. This is you and God right now. Come on, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. God, you're so good. Put it down. Keep your eyes closed for a moment. Thank you for responding online as well. God, you're so good. This is why we do this. It's why we do this. So here's what we're going to do. Keep those eyes closed. Just listen to my voice. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of commitment to Jesus, a prayer where you surrender your life to God. You verbalize it out loud. You speak it out loud. You believe it in your heart. There's a couple of great things about this prayer that you're about to repeat after me. The first thing is this, that God sees you and God hears you. I know there's billions of people on this planet, but God knows you and God cares about you and he sees and hears you responding. That's the first thing. Here's the second cool thing about this prayer you're about to repeat after me, is that you will not be the only voices, those that raise their hand in this room. In fact, there's going to be a lot of voices beside you, in front of you, behind you, in a different section. It's going to be a lot of voices saying the same thing. Well, why do you do that, Pastor? It's because we want to let you know that you are not alone in this journey. That you are not alone. Some of you are starting this journey again, a fresh commitment. You are not alone. God, you're so good. So those that raised your hand a moment ago and all the Jesus followers as support, say this after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. Jesus, I can't get to you, so you came to me. And so Jesus, I put my faith, my trust, my belief in you and you alone. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave. And so I ask you right now to forgive me of all my sin, of every mistake. Jesus, I make you my personal, come on, say that part again, my personal Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I know you couldn't see the hands, but in faith, would you celebrate and would you clap and would you worship God for what he's done? Come on, a little bit more than that. You don't got the Texans to root for today. They're on a bye week. Let's give God some glory. We thank you, God, for what you're doing.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.